God, get us over ourselves, right? Do yourself a favor and get over yourself. That's what God is saying. If we want to overcome, we got to overcome the self, right? There's a thing called self-control. Your body and your mind is not supposed to dictate to your spirit. Your spirit is supposed to be ruling, amen? Your mind and your body are to come under submission to your spirit, who is in union with His Holy Spirit. And that is what we call the spirit-led life. And that is where there is righteousness and peace and joy, is in the life that is led by the Spirit. And so we are to function from the Spirit and not merely from the intellect. Amen? Because my mind has to come under submission to what God is saying. And my mind wants to war against the Spirit. So I have to discipline my mind to say, no, this is what God says about it. My mind says, well, in my opinion. See, it's not about a matter of personal opinion. It's a matter of what is true. Amen? What is true and what is not. And we will abide in the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And we need to be freed from the prison of self, self-centeredness, self-ambition, self-exaltation, you know, selfishness. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't live a self-led life? He didn't come to be served, but to serve. And He gave us an example, didn't He? He led by example. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to serve one another. You want to be great? Start serving. That's how you're great in the kingdom. Now, in the world, we say, no, you're great if you have all the money and the toys and you're on top of the pile and you got a lot of notoriety and recognition. That makes you great, right? Isn't that what Satan does, though? He gets in there and says, you want to be great? You need to be like this celebrity. You need to be like that person. You need to be like this thing that Hollywood has set up for you to worship. Whether it be a musician or some celebrity or some diva that they create. Because Satan wants your worship. He wants my worship, doesn't he? He wants to meet your needs, as a matter of fact. Let me meet your needs. God's not good. God's not fair. God's holding back from you. Let me take care of your needs. Just come to me. I'll take care of it. We'll get rich together. We'll have all the sex we want. We'll do this. We'll do that together. You and me. And then together, of course, we go to hell, right? So the mind says, yeah, well, that sounds like a good idea. But there's another part of you that's saying, no, that's the way of death. God has a perfect way. How many know that God didn't come to take away our joy? That's what the devil does. He's a thief. He actually, what he presents to you as something that will produce joy actually robs you of your joy. God came to give joy, His peace, His love, His perfect love. See, the devil's love produces fear. But God's love casts out fear. The peace that the devil will offer you will leave you in torment. Amen? But the peace that the Lord gives us is beyond human ability to understand or comprehend. But it is a peace, indeed, that the world cannot give you. But it is a peace that passes what? All understanding. How many are abiding in the peace of the Lord? I mean, you just walk in that peace, amen? That's where God wants every one of us. He wants us to walk in that peace daily. And I want to tell you something. The repentant life is the way of peace. Amen? Not indulging your flesh, but doing the opposite of what your flesh wants to do is the way of peace. And thank God we have an advocate with the Father. That we can run to the Lord and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And He does. But you know, God warns us about indulging ourselves and our flesh because He knows that there are going to be consequences. And sometimes they're going to be something you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. Because you didn't listen to God. Does anybody beside myself know what that means? How many are reaping some repercussions of just some decisions you made years ago because you thought you were smarter than God? Yeah, because the devil came along and says, God doesn't know what he... God doesn't really... Does God... Yea, doth God said. Did God really mean what he said? And we're like, I wonder. Yes, he's much smarter than we are. Yeah, I'm sick and tired of living in death. How about you? Amen. Dead situations, dead thoughts, dead words, dead relationships. Yeah. I'm tired of death. I'm walking in life now. I'm walking in Jesus Christ. He is life. Hallelujah. God sees. God's trying to get us to realize that our way is just not going to work out. So, has anybody beside myself failed a few times? Okay, see, so we're all in good company here, right? Right. So we've all failed, but the failure doesn't have to be an end. It can be a stepping stone to success. And the success is not what the world calls it. The success is what God says it is, and that is life and peace in the Spirit. Amen? At peace with our Maker, our Creator. Well, what is God saying? His Word is life to us, folks. We have got to hear from God. And I would encourage you to learn His voice on your own. Don't expect the preacher to be God's voice to you. Amen. Exclusively, God does speak through preachers, but you need to know the voice of your shepherd yourself. And you need to know the Spirit so that when I'm saying something that is in agreement with what God says, your spirit will bear witness because you have a relationship with Him as well. And the Lord will say, yes, that is true. Amen. And if I say something foolish, and I pray not, but if I do, you should have enough discernment to say, wait a minute, I don't know if I'm going to agree with that. But I pray that God will give me revelation, lead me in the truth, and that He will give us fresh bread today, and that He will oil every moving part of His body. That we will begin to rise up and work together this coming year as His body on the earth, representing Him, the head who is in heaven, Jesus Christ. We need to understand our purpose, you know, and why we're here and what we're doing. And it's not about just coming and gathering and getting my needs met. Did you know that? That you're not here today just to get your needs met. You're here to discover who you are in Christ and what His purpose is for your life so that you can be about His business. And that means to serve others. We've got to grow up. Amen. Children have to be served. But then when they become adults, they learn how to serve others. Amen. So God wants us to grow up and begin to serve others and not just be served. There's a time when we need to be served. Amen. But that's not what it's all about. And Jesus didn't come again to be served, but to give His life. And if you want to live, die. If you want to live, die to yourself. Take up your cross. Follow Him. And the mind says that doesn't make sense. And the mind has to shut up. And the mind has to submit. The mind has to come under authority of the Spirit. See, your natural understanding has to be renewed. God does a renewal process in the thinking. Amen? So that our mind begins to agree with the Spirit. And when that happens, then the life begins to reflect that. His holiness. When we are integrated into God, we reflect His holiness. That means that my mind, my spirit, and my body are all in one accord, in agreement. And I'm in agreement with Him who is holy, because what everything Father says and the Holy Spirit and the Son are all completely in agreement. Amen? And so if God thinks something and He speaks something, He's going to back it up. Amen? And so as we are holy, as He is holy, it's not a matter of just obeying the rules. Did you get that? You know, some people think if I just obey the rules, then I'll be holy. No, it's about being integrated in the Holy One. Amen? He is our holiness. He is our holiness. Otherwise, you walk in legality, you walk in legalism, and there's no grace in legalism. It's just self-performance. And it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's by the grace of God. It's by the ability of God. It's about me humbling myself and submitting myself to God and abiding in Him who is holy. I then begin to become like Him, holy. I'm transformed in my mind, the Romans 12, and the renewing of my mind through the truth, the knowledge of the truth. We come to know Him who is the truth. And when you know the truth, then you'll know what the lie is, and you will no longer bow down to that. Truth is light. And where there's light, the darkness cannot abide. And so the enemy is constantly trying to keep you and I out of the revelation of God, from hearing from God, from spending time in His Word, because he wants to keep us in darkness. And it's in the areas where we're ignorant of the truth that he can camp out. How many here have a hunger for the Word of God? How many are in the Word of God every day? See, that's your light. You've got to be in the Word. Amen. And the reason why we read this written Word is because it will reveal to us the living Word, Jesus Christ, that we may know Him in person, know who He is. We can't follow somebody we don't know. And Jesus said, this is eternal life, that we may know Him, the only true God. We may know Him and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. I'm going to revisit today a message from about a year ago. And if you will, open in your Bibles today the book of Haggai. We're going to begin with chapter 1. In verse 2, it's called the vision of God's house. The reason why I'm revisiting this is because this has to do with the vision of our church and the direction where we're going this coming year. And what God is calling every single one in this building right now to. And that is to come together for His purposes. And in order for that to happen, we've got to get over ourselves. We've got to discipline ourselves. We've got to make sure that the self-life is no longer in charge. Because what we think is going to fill us within ourselves and what we pursue to feed the soul or feed the self-life always leaves us empty. How many have trashed yourself over these last couple weeks for all the hoopla and the holiday stuff? And then you just feel like, man, that was rough. Why did I do that? You know, it doesn't have to be that way, but often it does become that way. Why? Because most of the time what we're all about is self-indulgence. We have holidays so we can be self-indulgent. And then after we've indulged ourselves, we're like, well, that was great, but what now? It didn't really satisfy me, did it? It leaves you empty. That's the world and the things of the world that are passing away. Now, God's not against us celebrating, you know, the birth of His Son or whatever day you want to choose. I think every day should be Christmas. Amen. Every day should be Easter and not Estor and not that whole thing. But, you know, I'm talking about every day should be Resurrection Day because we are raised together with Christ. You know, and I also don't agree with let's just have a national day of prayer. How many know we need more than a day of prayer? We need a people that are called by His name to humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. As a nation, we need to repent and not just pray once a year. God help us. How many realize that the things that are happening around us are a result of sin? The condition of America, it's a condition of sin. Even the land itself is defiled. It is grieving. It is convulsing over the heaviness and the weight of the sin. And so we have the answer. It's turn to God. Turn back to God. Turn back to Jesus. Amen. Haggai 1 and verse 2. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, you know, there's a sermon right there. the people had said in Haggai's day that the time has not come. In other words, some of them were discouraged. Some of them were beat down. Some of them had become complacent and apathetic. And they were all running to their own, business and their own homes and focusing on their own lives while the house of God laid in neglect. And God is calling them through the prophet Haggai to repent and to return to Him and to begin to once again build the house of God. Now we know that God literally, His Shekinah glory dwelt in the temple on earth. But that in today, that means that God has come into human beings. Amen. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He's come to dwell within us. And God wants His church to be built. Amen. And that means that every member is vitally important. Every one of us needs to be engaged in the work of the Lord. And that work is to build the house of God, the church of Jesus Christ. That's what we're all called to be builders. Amen. To be involved in the will and the work of God, not to attend church, but to become the church and be the church. And if we're not doing that, we're not living in the life of God. You will find that the life of God is in the body of Christ. We have a measure of grace, each one of us individually, but we're part of something much bigger than we are. And we need each other. We need the life of God's body. Functioning and working together, walking together, building together as we gather with the purpose of fulfilling the purpose and plans of God in the earth. God visits us with His power, His ability, His grace, and we live in Him. Amen. It's so important that we are united, that we are together, that every one of us here is engaged in the work here. Come on. I'm not talking about ushering, teaching Sunday school necessarily. It might mean that, but it means that every one of us are doing what God has called us to do as part of the body of Christ. And if we're all doing what we're called to do, we will be healthy, we will be strong, each member will be supplied what it needs. Amen? People will not lack because every member is providing what they've been given of God to give to the others. The hand, amen, has to minister to the other parts. If the hand says, well, I'm not important, I'll just kind of hang out here and have church with just me and Jesus, guess what? If you're disconnected from the body, you're going to start to wilt. Amen? It's no different in our physical bodies. If you're disconnected from the body, that part of you dies. And if it's not healthy and it's not healed, it will also cause problems throughout the rest of your body. It's called gangrene. Amen? If you've got an infection somewhere and you're not dealing with it, you just keep tolerating it or putting it off for one of these days, guess what? That infection can spread. And it can destroy, amen, the body. Do you understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed His blood, to purchase you and I? Do you believe that Jesus died for you? Do you believe that He's your Savior and your Lord? Then that would mean that I'm about His business now. I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living for the One who died for me. I'm living for the One who suffered for me. I'm going to give myself now back to Him so that I may bring a return on that which He invested for me. And all of us working together, every member, I'm challenging us as a congregation to pray and seek the Lord and say, God, what can I do to make a difference? How can I be effective within the body of Christ? Not how can I do my own thing and God bless me. It's not a bless me club, amen. We're here to bless God now. God blessed us with His Son. Now it's time for us to bless God. Worship is, how can I bless you back? How can I love God back? That's worship. Not what can I get out of it? As a matter of fact, if you worship God in true sense of worship, God says, I'll take care of your needs. You won't stress out over it. You'll be taken care of. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It means to seek God above everything else. And all these things will be added unto you. He'll take care of it. And the devil wants to divide us. The devil wants you to get divided in your mind first. You know, living for the world, living for God, living for the world, living for God. And then come in and influence others the same way. And there are churches that have become so divided because the people in there are divided. And I'm not saying that's true. I'm not prophesying that over us. I'm just saying that we got to guard against double-mindedness. And we need to all, every one of us needs to be sold out for Jesus Christ. That means I'm done with me. I'm done with my ways. I'm ready for God. I'm ready for His ways. I'm going to submit myself daily. I'm going to die daily, like Paul said, and I'm going to walk with Jesus. That's what God is calling us to, folks. Why? Because He wants to build His church, and He's going to use you and I to do that. That's right. Throughout history, God has always chosen people to do His work on the earth realm. In the earth, yes. Who may I send? Who will go for me? Then said I, hear my Lord, send me. How many are saying, send me, Lord? Let it be your heart today. Let it be. Make up your mind this year, not just a temporary resolution that goes away in a few weeks, but make up your mind that I'm going to commit myself fully to God and to His work, not just for this year, but for the rest of my life, because God is calling us to do that. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny the self-life. If you want to live, deny yourself. Oh, the mind won't understand that, and unless it's a renewed mind, then it makes perfect sense. When we learn to love the cross, well, I don't want to give anything up. I like my life. I like what I'm doing. That's why you're so sour. That's why you're so lifeless. It's because when we're focusing on self, you're focusing on death. When you focus on Christ, you're focusing on life. You understand? To be self-centered is to live in death. To be Christ-centered is to live in life. And the self-life will come alive. In Christ, the Spirit will begin to control the flesh that comes into agreement with the Spirit. And we are led. And the body, of course, is the five-year-old. Amen? Your body is not supposed to be telling you what to do. Because it's simply our servant. Would you say amen to that? So the people here in Haggai's day, they were preoccupied with their own business. And look at verse 3. The word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, in this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, here it is, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You know, as a result, they were just like spinning the wheels. It's like everything they tried to do didn't satisfy them. Have you ever been there? You may even have all the toys and the money and the this and the that and the things that the world esteems as something great, and yet you can be so unsatisfied or dissatisfied, is whatever the word is. How many know what I'm talking about? You can be so undone, just some, like, this, it just didn't do what I thought it was going to do for me. See, God's trying to get your attention. He's trying to wake us up and say, listen, you pursuing your goals, your dreams, is going to leave you empty. Why don't you submit everything that you do to me and let me decide what is something that I have put in you or something maybe the enemy has suggested to you. You see, the enemy wants you to serve him. The enemy wants to meet your needs. The enemy wants you just to listen to his voice. And so he's going to suggest all kinds of ideas. How many young people have chased after things that, you know, because well, they were at the top of the charts, and everybody else thought they were popular, and so I want to be popular, and I want to follow the person that's popular, because I think if I can just get popular like them, I'll be as happy as they are, yet there's all kinds of suicide going up on the top. Are you hearing me? Because they're not satisfied in that. It doesn't fill them. It's all a lie. It's an illusion. If you want to really live, your life will be found in Christ. For me to live is Christ, Paul said, and to die is gain. How could it be that they could rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer stripes for Jesus because they found a superior life in the Spirit? They found that life is not in this world. They discovered that their citizenship is no longer in this world, but in heaven. And they were setting their affections on things above where Christ is. And as a result, they were filled with the life of Christ. And the joy of the Lord was their strength, even where they could rejoice after being flogged. How could that be? By the grace of God. Because they were not self-focused, but they were focused on Him. Is this making sense? And so what the enemy wants to do is he wants to get us busy, preoccupied, living just the temporary life, spending all of our time and our energy, or maybe even our resources, on this present world. Why? Because he knows that this world is coming to nothing. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word will never pass away, says the Lord. Jesus said, "He who does the will of my Father abides forever." How many are doing the will of the Father? How many are living for God every day, living for Jesus Christ? How many have discovered that Jesus is your life? How many are going to make Jesus your life this year? I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of living in death. I've decided to live in life. And I have discovered that my way does not satisfy. My way gets me in trouble. Thank you, Jesus. So what did God say here in verse 5? Look at it again. Consider your ways. In verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. See, this is the way of self. The way of self leaves you empty. It does not satisfy. Have you discovered that? Maybe not everybody's discovered that yet. God wants you to discover that. God wants you to know that. You know why? I say this so many times, but God says, okay, you're free to choose who you'll serve. You can do what you want. You can go your own way. I'm not going to force you. Peter, you're free to go your own way. You think you got it together? You think you can do it independent of me? Go for it. But I'm telling you, you're going to deny me 3 times. Oh, not me. He had to fail. And just like you and I today, we have to fail until we realize that my way is just not going to work, period. I'm done. Repentance means I'm done with me. I'm done with my way. I'm now ready for His way. And His way is the way eternal. His way is the way of joy. There's joy when you learn to love the cross. Crucified to this world. I'm dead to the world and the world is dead to me. That's life in the Spirit. He says, you've sown much, but you bring in little. Verse 6 again, you eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. All those things that we feel are going to satisfy. And you know what? Jesus said, your Father knows what you have need of. He knows you need all these things. Amen? You've got to have shelter. You've got to have clothing. You've got to have food. Your Father knows all about it. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you as well. That's how it works. It's in that order. And only in that order have we discovered that. It's only going to work that way. Even if you do fill yourself with things because you did it independent of God, you worked hard at it, I earned this, I did this. Well, who gave you strength? Who gave you ability? Who let you get out of bed this morning? Thank God, amen? But it's because of grace. It's because of God that you have your being even. And we were never created to be independent of Him. So living an independent life, independent of our Creator, is a dysfunctional life. And a life that we're all born into. Born separated, amen, through sin. But now we've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. We've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And now I can live a life in the Spirit with Him. A life of joy. You know what? Many times we build our lives around ourselves without realizing it, though. I've done it. We build our lives around ourselves without realizing it. And the Spirit of God is the one who is speaking. Amen? And He says, listen to my voice. Hear me. Your way is leading to destruction. You cannot worship God your way. You cannot serve God your way. You cannot follow God your way. He has a way, and that way is Jesus Christ. Amen? And to walk with God means I walk like Jesus walked. I look at Jesus and I say, man, my life is a mess compared to Him. But you know what? God says that's good. Because unless you realize you're a mess, you're not going to come to Him for help. And only He can change your heart. You can patch things up. You can turn over a new leaf. But unless God changes your heart, your life is going to continue down the path of destruction. And the only way your heart is going to be changed is when you come to the place where you begin to get honest with God. Quit worrying about the opinions of people. What will people think if I raise my hand for salvation or for this need that I have and say, God, I don't care what man says. I want to make sure I'm right with You. I'm willing. Whatever it takes, Lord, get me in that right place with You. Restore me. Restore me to fellowship with You, God. Because I know without You it's death. And we're not concerned about the things of God like we should be. He said in verse 4, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? We need to consider our ways. Question for everybody here. So I ask myself, am I building God's kingdom? Folks, if we are not building together God's kingdom, then we are actually living dysfunctionally. Is that a word? We're living a dysfunctional life. We need to be building God's kingdom. Jesus said, he who does not gather with me scatters. If we're not about our Father's business, if we're not together, united as a body, functioning as a body to build and advance God's kingdom, then we'll end up scattering and causing problems and causing division. Do you know who causes divisions within churches? The people who are self-centered. Not Christ-centered. People that are about themselves. People who are about God and His kingdom are not focused on the fleas, amen? They're on the hunt. They've got vision. They're going somewhere. You know, I've used that illustration many times, but you know when a dog is in the kennel, he's very conscious of the fleas, right? But when he's on the hunt, he forgets all about the fleas. Do you understand? The devil wants to preoccupy you and I with the fleas. He wants to get us preoccupied with the stupid stuff. And the stuff that doesn't really matter. And he wants to make little things big things. And God says, get your eyes off that. There's no life in those things. There's life in me. Come up higher. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. Come on. God has a place for us in the Spirit where we can soar with Him. Soar above the noise and the confusion. Soar above the things that will distract us. Soar above the little irritations of this world. God says, abide in me and I in you, and you'll bear fruit of love and joy and peace and all the good things that we're looking for. They're in Him. The devil says, oh, I want to give you joy. I want to give you peace, my peace, he says. Yeah, I want to give you my love. And the devil always leaves you empty, doesn't he? He wants us to be preoccupied with lesser things so he can rob us from the eternal things. He wants to take from you. How many years already has the devil robbed you in your life? You getting sick and tired of it yet? In the time that we say, Lord, I'm done. I'm done with me. I'm done with that. I'm done with the mess. I'm ready to do it. Jesus, let's do this thing together. I'm hooking up with you. I'm yoking up with you. We're going to do this thing together. Amen. He may have to drag you for a little while, but you hook up with Jesus, and eventually you're going to get your legs. Amen. Just hang in there. Keep praying. Keep seeking God, worshiping God, obeying Him, the little assignments He gives you. And after a while, you're going to find yourself striding with Jesus, walking with Jesus. That's what He wants for everyone in this room, to be done with self so you can walk with Him. You see, you're not ready for Jesus until you're done with yourself. There are a lot of people say a sinner's prayer, but they're not done with themselves. They haven't repented. Repentance means I'm done. I have decided to follow Jesus. Not in my own way, but in His way. Because whenever we want to follow God our way, it's idolatry. We're now fashioning a God to suit ourselves. Well, to me, God's like this. I want God to be like that. Well, I don't care what you want God to be like. God is who He is. He doesn't change. We're the ones that need to change. It's no longer about me anymore, but it is about the body of Christ. Folks, this is what I'm trying to focus on today. When Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16 and verse 18, He says, on this rock I will build my church. On this big rock, amen, Petra, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. He means the councils of hell will not be able to stop His true church. Why? Because they are grounded in Him. Their life is in Him. They have died to themselves and they have decided to follow Jesus Christ, daily taking up their cross to follow Him. And that church is the church that will be His in that day. I want to be His church. I want to be His bride. I want God to make me beautiful in His holiness. Amen? Because you're not going to be able to come into the King's throne room in your own goodness and your own righteousness. Only His. And He's the one that provides that holiness. I have a couple questions for you this morning. Do I gather together just for my own personal edification or benefit? Do we come to church for that? Do I focus on just having my needs met, or is it about the kingdom? This will kind of put the light on, won't it? Kind of help us to understand where we're at. Another one is, am I more concerned about my own personal kingdom than God's kingdom? This is a big one, folks. Am I more concerned about my own personal kingdom and my own personal life than God's kingdom? Well, there's a simple answer to that, is what do you value? What do you spend your time on? What do you preoccupy yourself with? Are you just living for this world and temporary things and entertainment or whatever? Come on, you know what I'm saying. We can spend perpetual hours in entertaining ourselves. Instant gratification now through the internet. Anytime, any place, you can just turn it on and you've got entertainment. And you can be robbed from eternity. You understand This is something that can be a good tool. The internet can be a good tool, but it's also a device that the enemy is using to destroy many, many, many people. Because they're so mesmerized, they're captivated, they're actually hooked on video gaming and the entertainment and the thrills, the instant thrills. Our young people are so saturated with this stuff. Are you hearing me? They're so overstimulated that they come to church, they can't even sit for a few minutes and pay attention anymore. It's like this. They're like a dog that can't pay attention. Why? Because everything's instant, 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 instant. We can't focus, can't concentrate. Can we take enough time to put every turn and everything off and sit, just sit in God's presence? Just listen to what He wants to say to you. God, I want to hear Your voice. God, Your word is life to me. If I don't hear from God, I'm going to continue to walk in death. I need to know what God is saying. What is God speaking to me? What does God want for me? I don't want to waste any more days. I want to finish strong. I want to finish well. I want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I know who you are. You denied yourself just like I did. You followed in my footsteps just like I followed in my Father's footsteps. And I know you. I want to live for God. I live for myself too many years. I'm going to live for God. And I find life. I find a joy unspeakable, full of glory. I find a higher high than I've ever experienced in this world. When I've learned the joy of denying myself and following Jesus. And you're going to be challenged. You're going to be tested. God's going to sometimes call you out of something that you're in the middle of and you just want to do this thing. And you're going to be tested at times. You're going to say, somebody needs to call. Somebody needs to pray. Or you need to go pray. Or you need to go do something. Are we going to listen to His voice? Or are we going to continue to deny Him? If you want to live, you've got to say yes to God. If you want to die, just keep saying yes to you and no to God. Are we abiding in our first love? Are we in love with Jesus today like we were in the beginning? Are we that passionate about Jesus? We just want more of Jesus. We just can't get enough of Jesus. Or is it like, well, if I have a little time left over, maybe at the end of all I do and all I might give God a little spare change. Or I'll wait till my deathbed to get right with my Maker. How many people are in hell who thought they could just wait till their deathbed? Salvation, healing, deliverance, sanctification, holiness, worship gatherings, Bible studies, fellowship meetings, evangelism. Everything we do should be for the purpose of building up the corporate habitation of God, the church. Everything we're about in this church should be about building God's house. Amen? We're not talking about building programs. Amen? This is just the house, but you and I are the house. Everything we should be doing is about building my brother, building my sister. Amen? What I've been given from God, I've been given treasure. I've been given something to invest in the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. To build up, because His eye is on the church, folks. God wants us to be the light. Amen? And to be the salt. And God wants us to go up, as He told these people. He said, go up to the mountain and gather wood. And bring it back and begin to build my house. What does that mean? It means get the grace that you need. Worship God at His holy hill. Be filled with what He will supply for you. And then go and gather stones. Go and gather together the people that God is calling to join His body that He's coming for. There's this lie of the devil that says, oh, fellowship isn't that important. Coming to church isn't that important. It's a lie from the pit of hell, I'm telling you. Because the life is in the body. The blood of Jesus flows throughout the body. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We need the body. We need to be together. And I'm challenging you, I'm asking you to join with us this year. Come together as a body and fully commit. It doesn't matter if you're here for a short time or not. Commit to what God has placed in your hands right now to do. Because time is running out. Time is running out. The opportunities are soon going to be gone. We have a window of opportunity. I'm asking God, show me, God. Show me this year, Lord, what You want us to do. And I believe God has said simply, and this is a theme that is from years ago, but He says, I want each one to reach one. Each one reach one. Each one reach one. That's one. Amen. Each one of us reach one. And then reach another. Amen. And let those who have been reached, reach out and reach one. And then reach another. Start sowing. Speaking to people. Whether they hear you or not, sow the seed. The day is coming when people will be driven by desperation to look for somebody who knows God. When all the artificial security blankets of the government are no longer there, what are people going to do? I tell you what they're going to do. Many are going to run to the altar and say, God, have mercy. God, help. And then God's going to gloriously pour out His Spirit. And they're going to be taken up into the realms of the Spirit and a joy and ecstasy that is immeasurable. And all the idols and the things that they had found comfort in are gone. And now they're finding that their true joy is in the joy of the Lord. And I don't need entertainment of this world. I find that the greatest joy of all is knowing Him. He is my pleasure. He is my desire. He is my delight. Oh, Jesus. You're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from You. You're the heart of my contentment. Hope in all I do. Jesus, You're the center of my joy. I'm part of something great, much greater than me. You know, the devil wants you to be your own God. But we're all just members of something much bigger than we are. And there's no lone rangers in the kingdom. We're all part of a body. If you want to discover who you are, you need to pursue God. Seek His face. And God will begin to show you. And He'll begin to give you little assignments. Do this. You want to be somebody? You want to be great in the kingdom? Start serving others. Quit living for yourself. And start living for this church. Amen? Yeah. Well, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. No, but if you're a Christian, you should be in church. Why? Because you're a part of something bigger than yourself. It's very clear. Every member, and I'm going to finish with this, folks. We don't have time for everything. But I want you to hear this, if you would, please. Just listen. I'm going to just read this from the New Living Translation. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me. This is Romans 12 and verse 3. I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. God's eye is on His church. This is all about the body functioning. How many have received encouragement this morning? You've received strength, amen, because you came. We need to stop listening to that other voice that is telling us not to gather, because the enemy is afraid of a united people in Christ. If we want our nation turned around, it's going to require every individual, every child of God, to return to God and return to the fellowship of the saints. Amen? The habitation of God in the Spirit, and to seek that God's fire will once again fall on His church. Amen? To purify her, to make her holy, but also to give her a holy passion, to glorify the Lord, and to reach the lost, so that we will be fearless in the face of opposition. We will be able to do great exploits for the Lord. Lord, we say, send the fire. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. God, I ask you to draw in from the north, the south, the east, and the west, all those who you are calling, God. God, I ask you to use every one of us here to be evangelists, Lord, to do the work of an evangelist, Lord, to reach out and to invite people and to invite them to you, Lord God. How, God, I just pray that you would put in our hearts your desires and make your will our desire, O God. Would you ask the Lord today, say, Lord, make your will my desire. Purify my heart with your holy fire. Breathe in me new life and restore me to life in you, in Jesus' name.